I wanna be a billionaire, I ain't getting no sleep, till I see a milli every week. I wanna be a billionaire, I ain't getting no sleep, till I see a billy every week. I wanna be a billionaire, billionaire, I wanna be a billionaire.
Ladies and gentlemen, how you doing? Welcome to another episode of Sleep is for Billionaires, the podcast. I am your host, Johnny Vegas. Now today, I got a very, very, very special guest on my show. Ladies and gentlemen, you are in for a treat. This man is not only a philanthropist, he's also an activist, motivational speaker, best-selling author. Ladies and gentlemen, Freeway Ricky Ross.
What's up, man? What's up?
Oh, thank you, man. I'm very humbled to have you in my presence today, my brother.
Glad to be here.
Yeah, man. It's like you're definitely contributing to my dream by just being a part of this. I mean, you don't know me from a hole in the wall, man. The fact that you took the opportunity to do this today is amazing.
Well, so, you're a young brother trying to make it, and facts. I want to see young brothers make it.
Yeah, man, because I need all the help I can get.
We've been out here faking it.
Nah, never.
It's time for some people to make it.
That's a super
hell with that faking it.
Yeah, we ain't got time for that, man. So, first off, man, how you doing today, my brother?
I'm good. Just busy, man. Just so many opportunities, you know. It's like opportunities just keep falling out the tree, you know. Like,
well, that's a blessing.
Like, yeah, it is. You know, using principles.
Yeah.
You know, when you're using the principles, it's just like they just keep regenerating themselves. You know, it's like if you, I did a podcast. I mean, not a podcast, live this morning. I was talking about the farmer who had the goose. You know, he came out the house one day, he go in the back, he's checking for eggs, and the goose laid a golden egg.
Oh, snap, okay.
Yeah, the egg wasn't like a regular egg, it was gold.
Yeah.
And so often we get blessings and we don't know how to accept them, you know? Mm. It's like the farmer, he wasn't satisfied with getting one gold egg a day.
Yeah.
You know, he wanted more, so he cut the goose open to find out where the eggs was coming from,
mm.
You know, the moral of that story. And What I did is I take every situation and I try to break it down to make logical sense out of it. And
mm-hmm.
Basically what that story is talking about is how we get opportunities and gifts and we blunder them.
Yeah.
You know, we take and cut ourselves off from the blessing, you know.
Like, that's a fact.
What is wrong with you, you know? Now me, if I would have came out and I saw the goose, had they one golden egg, the first thing I'm going to do is make the goose fatter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The goose is fatter, healthier, so I'm going to give them vitamins.
You know, yeah. Bring out more eggs.
Take them to the doctor.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That's a fact.
Protect
your investment.
I'm not going to take a knife in and put to the goose.
You know, yeah, like, yeah, yeah.
You're going to destroy it.
That's a fact.
You know, your blessing, you're going to kill your, you're going to stab your blessing, you're going to cut your own blessing off. And so often we find people, you know, cutting their own blessings off.
Yeah, well, it sounds like you're definitely counting all your blessings, man, and you're very strategic in how you move accordingly with the opportunity.
You got to, man, because, you know, they say opportunities we only get once in a while, but I have to disagree. I get opportunities every day. You know, I have to, like, pick through the opportunities, like, nah, I'm going to let that one slide. I'm going to get this one to echo.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Because I get so many of them, you know, and that's because I'm not cutting them off.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not taking the $50, the $100, you know, the $200, the $100,000. You know, I'm not taking that.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I can get mine later on. I can take the one egg at a time and keep stacking it every day. And, you know, in a year, you know, I'll have my 360 eggs.
There you go. You know,
instead of the person who is going to try to get the whole 360 today. Like, oh, I want all 360 of mine right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, hell with that in the future. You know, I might not live. You know, life ain't promised to you.
Yeah.
You know, and you hear all those type of things, and those are the things that really motivate people and drive them to make moves that they make, because they don't know if they're gonna exist tomorrow or next week or next year.
So with that being said, you know, how does, you know, someone with your past and your history and all the trials and tribulations you've been through feel to be alive, you know, and blessed today? Just,
well, wonderful, wonderful. I mean, just to be walking the streets is crazy. You know, and you mentioned that I just had met two of my friends that I hadn't seen in like 18, 15 years, you know. Mm-hmm. We were all in prison together, you know. We had life sentences together. We walked the yard. We talked. And I met him the first time, like, 2 weeks ago, you know, mm-hmm. since they've been out. They just got presidential pardons from Obama. And so it's starting to trickle down, and they started to get out. And we were sitting in a room, and we was talking, and the conversation was just, like, crazy. I had to stop the conversation and say, look, man, I need y'all to get out of my office. Mm-hmm. And we're going to redo this again later on, but I want the cameras to be rolling, you know, when we sit down and talk next time. And I talked to Glenn Plummer about it last night. You know, I had a meeting with Glenn Plummer. You know, Glenn played me in the movie 100 Kilos. Mm-hmm. So we sat down last night and we were talking about, you know, just different stuff. And I was like, Glenn, man, you might be the perfect dude, man, to do this with. I want to get these guys, like, 15 or 20 of the guys who had life sentences without the possibility of parole. And, we all just go in the room and we just talk about life, you know, like what we did in the joint, what it was like going to court, you know, maybe having to bring some pictures and just, you know, just sit down and just like chop it up and just, you know, let the people see, you know, let them hear, you know, from the OGs, you know, the guys who ran the streets. You know? In that room, there's going to be some people that probably can touch just by anybody in the world, you know.
Yeah.
So Glenn loved the idea. He's like, man, I'm going to get the cameras. I'm with it.
Nah, that sounds great, man. I mean, I love to be a part of that. I mean, I got the cameras on deck. As you see, I own all this, so let me know. but looking back on the passing things, you know what I'm saying? I mean, if you could go back in time, would you have taken a different path, or would you have done everything exactly the same?
I don't care about the past. Let them talk about my past.
Yeah.
I'm looking to the future.
That's what's up.
See, I can see from 2 years from now.
Okay.
I can predict what's going to happen in 2 years.
Oh, yeah?
And so I don't have to go back to what's already written. So you can't change the past.
Okay.
But I can predict the future.
Mm.
See, I can make the future whatever I want it to be.
That's a fact.
So I don't have to live in the past. People who can't see the future live in the past.
That's a fact.
Because that's something they can see. They can identify with it. Me... I'm living in the future. I'm like, this is what's going to happen next year and the year after that, you know. People be saying, man, you ought to pick my lottery ticket.
Yeah, I was about to say, I need your help with that one.
Well, you know, I don't play the lottery, though. See, I'm the lottery ticket.
Yeah. That's what it is. I like that, man. So with that being said, so being how you seem to foresee things as they come, for those who don't, you know, especially our youth today that are looking for a way out and just might be stuck in their product of the environment. You know what I'm saying? That may lead into, you know, a life of crime or whatever the case may be. What's your advice to them to seek a way out other than, you know, those roads?
They have to become in tune.
Can you further elaborate?
Well, when you become in tune with your environment,
mm-hmm.
then you become a part of the environment.
Yeah.
When you become a part of it, not only can you be a part of it, but you can become the dictator.
Mm-hmm.
You can become the one that starts to dictate what's going to happen in that environment.
Okay.
You know, like, what's going to go on?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how is it going to function? Because we as humans are not helpless beings.
Right.
But in order to be in tune with your environment, you first have to be in tune with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way you can do that is by controlling self. Without self-discipline, there's nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You're just like a loose piece of jelly that just goes wherever.
Go with the flow.
You just go with the flow. The wind blow you over there, and or no, when the jelly just roll over.
Yeah.
Get on a little slump and just roll down the hill, you know. But when you become firm and you have a stance,
mm-hmm.
and something that you're standing for, then, you know, take a hurricane to push you down.
Yeah, that's a fact. That's a super fact, man. Trust me, I'm the same way, man. I stand behind my beliefs and can't nobody stop
me. You got to. You know, Malcolm X said, if you don't stand for something,
fall for anything.
You'll fall for anything. Mm-hmm. So I totally believe that. And, you know, I'm trying to stand for, you know, what I believe in.
You ain't trying. You're doing it, brother.
Yeah. I, you know. I got an opinion on that. But I'm glad you say that. I'm glad you say
anyway,
that.
From what I see, you're doing a great job, my brother. Definitely keep
it's
up
the game. There's a lot more to come, man. This thing is crazy, you know, like, to have somebody write your obituary. You know, I was talking to one of Dr. Phil guys last night. You know, okay. He's a producer on Dr. Phil show. He's like, man, we ought to get you on the show. And, you know, it's like, yeah, because I'm one of the raddest motherfuckers on the planet. You know, how many people get their obituary wrote in LA Magazine?
Right.
LA Magazine, read, they wrote my obituary.
That's crazy.
And then I got to read my own obituary.
Oh, man.
How many people get to do that?
I ain't do it yet. Shit.
So, when you apply those principles in it's like they're almost unstoppable, man. And if young people really want to be successful and to journey forward, start to see the future,
right?
Start to learn how they can elevate themselves, then it has to start with the principles.
Okay. So what do you want people to learn from your story? You know, with everything that happened with the past, with what you're doing in the future, what your body...
I mean, there's so many things you can take from my story. You know? It's not over till it's over.
That's a fact.
You know what I'm saying? No matter where you at, you can still change the situation. You
right.
Know, you can still grow. You can still develop. It's never too late. You can be whatever you want to be. You can mold yourself. You know, what I realized is that at one time I was allowing my environment to mold me instead of me molding my environment. And now that's my goal, is for me to mold my environment and not be molded by my environment.
Would you say that's the biggest thing you learned from your own story?
No. I mean, critical thinking. You know, how to think past today, you know, how to think past tomorrow. I mean, it's just so much, you know, it's just according to what day, you know, what day it is.
Yeah.
Something different, you know, another day.
Well, take your time, brother. We got 2 more hours. No, just kidding.
We ain't got no 2 hours.
No, just kidding. Oh, man.
You know, I get paid a lot of money for an hour.
Oh, man, damn. Well, I appreciate you coming through.
I'm expensive.
I know, man. Thank you, man. I appreciate you, man.
Yeah, but, you know, on the real, that's why I wrote my book, so the young people could kind of like get into my head, you know, because I want them in my head.
Yeah.
You know, I want them to play with my brain, you know. And I believe if they do that, if they're able to go inside my brain and pull my knowledge out and then stand on top of that knowledge, you know, they're going to be able to see further than what I saw.
That's so a fact.
It's very important that we try to pass these messages along to young people.
I agree, man. Now, speaking of the book, tell me, congratulations on that, by the way.
Two books.
Excuse me, on to both books, you know.
And it's the third one sitting in the way. Waiting.
That's what I'm talking about. You got one in the chamber ready to go.
I'm gonna pop it. Bang.
There you go. So are you happy with the success of the latest release, you know, as far as sales is concerned and everything you're doing in marketing?
I can't keep it. I can't keep the book.
What you mean?
I keep selling out.
Oh, well, there you go. So I take that as a yes.
Yeah, just keep selling out. You know what I'm saying? The book is doing phenomenal, you know, especially for somebody like me, independent. I mean, you can see it on the internet. Go on the internet. You can Google the book.
I saw it.
All the pictures and all the people holding it. And matter of fact, they got a documentary right now. It's on Netflix about a football team out of Kansas that it's crazy that I spoke at the school during the time they were filming their Netflix film.
And they caught you in the film as well?
Yeah, the book is in the film. Somebody called me the other day and was like, man, this TV show is on about this football team in Kansas. And I saw your book in there. And I was like, yeah, all the kids at the school bought all the kids a book.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just phenomenal, man, to have the kind of success that I'm having right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what's up. Well, I'm definitely happy for you, my brother. You're definitely blessed. You know, it sounds like you're a workaholic, man. Like, you don't stop. Tell me, what does Freeway Ricky Ross do to unwind? What do you do to chill and relax?
Work.
Yo, you know what's crazy? That's my answer as well. Because every time I want to work, my brain just can't stop moving. I'm thinking about the next opportunity, the next way to
get that bag. Well, that's what I enjoy that, though. I mean, if you enjoy that, it's, you know, like, I was reading this book one time, and this dude was like 89, 90 years old, and they was like, when you gonna take a day off? You work too much. And you know what his response was to them? Oh, this is work. He said, I'm having a ball.
Yeah, right. If you love what you do, it don't feel like work.
It don't feel like work. So, you know, every day for me is a vacation, you know. Mm. It's when I'm not doing nothing. It's probably when I'm at my worst, you know. And that was one of the things about being in prison that I found out, is that prison is made to make you worthless. Where you don't have any value. And everybody wants to have value.
Right. No, that's a fact. That's a super fact. Hey, the name of the show is Sleepers for Billionaires, brother. I live by that code, man. I don't sleep. You know what I'm saying? I'm still working.
And then once you get that billion, if you want to, you can sleep it up.
Yeah, but not for too long. I'm going to need another one. I'll pick you up. That's a fact, man. That's, you got children, man? Yeah? How many?
Just come from the tennis court.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I just started playing tennis with my girl like 2 weeks ago.
I got a little Serena.
Oh, yay! That's what I'm talking about, man. Baby, I'm still working on my backhand, though. I'm trying
and
to
baby, we're at the edge.
Yeah, that's dope.
Yeah, I'm gonna try to be what Richard Williams did. You know, he had two females to be one and two. I'm gonna have the number one woman and number one man in the world at the same time. So he couldn't have number one.
Twice.
I'm gonna have number one twice.
There you go.
Both sides, and then. See, when my son becomes number one in the world.
I like that. He said when instead of if. When he becomes.
He'll be the best tennis player in the whole world.
There you
go.
Because
a woman can't claim the best tennis player in the world.
Why is that?
Because they can't beat the men.
Oh, God. They actually made a movie about that, like Battle of the Sexes or something
like
that.
Yeah, with Billie Jean King.
Yeah. I haven't watched it. I want to see it, though, but it's an interesting
they can't,
story.
They, men are just too, hit the ball too hard, too strong. So, men would dominate the women on the court. So when my son becomes number one in the world, he'll really be the number one person in the whole world. For me, that would be like, oh my goodness, that's what I always wanted to do.
Yeah.
You know, so I just had to live my dreams through him.
Nah, that's a fact, man. So wait, you wanted to be a tennis player back in the day?
I played tennis.
Oh, okay. Okay. You good at it now? You all right or what?
I'm a good teacher.
You're a good teacher?
I'm just expensive.
Yeah, I can do it.
You know, $300 an hour.
That's what's up.
You know, then I probably would say, oh, well, you're going to have to take 30 days in advance. You pay for 30 days in advance.
Yeah, you're going to need a little bit more work. That's funny, man. Now I'm glad you're taking those steps to, you know, protect your children from, you know, following those footsteps from your earlier past, you know, by putting them in sports and tennis and just keeping them focused and guiding them that way. Because that was actually a follow-up question, but you answered it, so that's what's up.
Yeah. Well, you know, what I do is I look back at my life and I'm like, what would have happened if you'd had a dad that was in the business? You know, if my dad would have just been a mechanic or whatever, you know, I know I would have taken that and taken it to another level. But when you don't have anybody to guide you, then you start being guided by your environment.
Right.
And that's pretty much what happened to me. You know, it was just, it's crazy, right? Because I was just on the phone like 2 days ago and I'm talking to one of my buddies. And he went to jail when he was 18. He's been in jail 40 years.
Oh, my God. For what, if you don't mind me asking?
A robbery murder.
I'm sorry to hear about that. About your friend and all that.
So, what I'm saying is that I realized that I was right there in that same environment, but I had made a commitment. I ain't putting a gun in nobody's face for their money.
Right.
You know, because when you're in the hood, you know, you're looking at believe it or not, we look at crime as career opportunities.
That's a fact.
You know, it's
unfortunately.
In court, they call it career crime.
Yeah.
Because you done made a career out of this shit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I see dudes right now hustling for cars and jewelry and shoes and pants. So you got to keep doing that shit.
Mm-hmm.
Me, I was hustling to get me a business. Right. And I was going to let the business buy all that shit.
Yeah, you know, exactly. Like, hell yeah.
Oh, I can do this forever because my business is going to keep turning.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to keep making money. So, you know, it's really important that we analyze what we're doing and figure out, you know, where we should be.
Right.
And not just, you know, just keep running around like a hamster on that wheel, around and around and around. And then we look up, oh, we still in South Central.
Yeah. Gotta get out of blocks.
I'm still in Englewood. I'm still in Watts.
Hmm.
And then you're going to start winding up in Watts, and then they'd be like, oh, well, you can't come here no more.
Right.
Well, we bought this motherfucker.
Exactly.
You don't own it no more.
Yeah.
You out of here. Well, you go downtown. Get your cardboard box. They got plenty of room.
Oh, man. That's fucking crazy.
It's crazy, but it's real.
Yeah, it's a fact, man. Unfortunately, it is what it is. So tell me, what do you think the future holds for, like, you know, drug addiction and stuff like that? Like, do you think it's going to get worse? It's going to get better? Like, what's your opinion on it?
I don't know. You know, the problem with drugs is that people want to use them.
Yeah.
So until you get the people to realize that they can function without drugs, then you always have a drug problem.
So it's more like a self-esteem, self-confidence kind of thing. Like,
absolutely. You know, one of the things that I argue with the court about is the courts want to punish the dealers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, punish the dealers and let the addicts go. But what I tried to explain to them is that addicts is going to keep creating dealers.
Right.
You lock up a dealer and then the addicts going to create another one because they're going to start running around with people. Man, I got 50 bucks. You ain't got it. And you get it, and you know who got it, and pretty soon somebody's gonna say, I'll get it for you.
Mm-hmm.
I need that 50 bucks. I need that 100 bucks. I need that 1,000.
Yeah. And it's just like a domino effect after that. So.
That's why they keep getting them. They keep locking them up. You know, right now we got over 2.2 million people in prison.
Damn.
And the streets are full of dope still.
Word.
If they did a sweep today and lock them all up, then next week, they're going to start some new ones.
That's a fact. Yeah, ain't nothing going to stop.
Ain't nothing going to change. It ain't going to change until we change our mentality.
Interesting. Okay. Shit, so on another note, tell me, you know, what's your relationship like with Ross? You know what I mean? I know you had
that. Who is Ross? Thing.
Well, the rapper.
His name, William Roberts.
The rapper, yeah, with that. The
William Roberts.
Name. Right. What's your relationship like with him now?
Nah, I mess with Rich, Freeway Rich, out of Kansas City. Matter of fact, we're finna do an album together.
Okay.
Probably me, Rich.
You gonna be talking on it or rapping?
I might try to rap too.
Yeah. Well, if you need a writer, holler at me, man. I do that too, man.
I do a little writing.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I'm gonna write my own rhymes.
I want to hear something, man. I'll let you know.
But I mean, I'm open to it. Rich, Freeway. Philly, me, and the Freeway boys out of
the one. You mean Freeway that rap with Beans back in the day?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
That's what's up. Yeah,
so we all talking about doing an album together.
Okay,
and putting it out and, you know, see what they do.
That'd be cool, man. I'd be almost like, I think it'd be cool if I do like a book but an album at the same time, like an audio type of book. And but it's rapping at the same time, like rapping the words. I mean, I don't know, man. It's something to brainstorm on, like. There's so many ways you can go about that to make it really unique to where it would be different from what's out. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think that'll be something to really take your time with. You know what I'm saying? Really piece it together and make it like a masterpiece. You know what I'm saying? Not just a regular album.
We're just working on it. You know, I got a few artists that I'm working with. I just signed a young lady out of Atlanta. I'm really
rapper or singer?
She's a rapper.
Okay.
16 years old.
Mm.
Dope.
Yeah.
Sound like Lil Baby.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
Well, you know, he's influencing the South right now.
Absolutely. Shout out to Lil Baby.
All the kids want to be Lil Baby right now.
Mm-hmm. And, music is hot. He got that balance to it.
She might not like me saying that, you know,
yeah.
that her style is kind of like his, but it's definitely influenced. I think.
But that's a compliment.
It is. But you know how artists are. Oh, I'm my own person.
Yeah, that ego.
Yeah.
They can compare me to Jay-Z. You know what I'm saying?
So we just did that. We also still working with Naku.
Okay.
Out of New York. We got a few artists we working with. I mean, we got so much stuff going on. The cannabis industry today, the last day for social equity.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to make sure everybody got their paperwork in.
So when you say you get into the cannabis industry, you know, what exactly are you doing? Like, are you buying stock of cannabis?
No, or I'm not buying no stock in nobody. I don't want to work for nobody's company. I want to own the company.
Okay.
I want to own the industry.
Well, put me on, because I'm buying stock left and right, but if you know something I don't, I need to be talking to you.
Well, really, buying stock, in my personal opinion, is chancy.
Right.
Because none of these companies are making a profit right now.
Mm.
So you could just be feeding a fat cat. And then in the end, I'm going to wind up with all you guys' assets when they figure out that they don't know how to sell marijuana. Because most of these guys, you know, like Madman, and they don't really know how to sell marijuana.
Right.
You know, and they were able to raise $1.2 billion, but with no cash flow.
Mm.
You know, you're raising money, but you don't have a cash flow. And without cash flow, you know, the business ain't gonna last.
Mm. Okay. No, that's interesting. Yeah, we'll talk a little further on that off camera, you know what I'm saying? Because I got some ideas and I got some people getting involved in that, then, you know, maybe together we could all achieve more. So we'll definitely
discuss that. I'm definitely with that. You already know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, my last question, man, you know, I know you probably had some idols you looked up to back in the day that probably influenced you to get in the business you got in. But now, being the man that you are, the reformed man, you know what I'm saying? The philanthropist, activist, best-selling author. Who are some of the idols you look up to now?
Oh man, I got a lot of idols, man. People that I know. I don't necessarily know if I would call them idols. You know, idol is kind of a strange word. You know,
really? Why you feel it's strange?
Like, though? I worship this person.
Nah, not worship. Just like, you know what I'm saying? Like me, for example, with me, like one of my idols is Jay-Z.
But that's what an idol would mean if you looked it up in the dictionary.
Yeah, I mean, well, I feel you. Well, so who, so now you kind of messed up my question. So who you look up to? Like, who you like?
I like Farrakhan.
Okay, there we go.
In the music industry, who would I say I like? I don't know, man.
Just as an entrepreneur, I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like,
I mean, maybe, so many entrepreneurs, you know. I studied Nike, I studied Sam Walton, I studied Bill Gates. Les Brown, Rob Johnson used on BET, Reginald Lewis. I love Reginald.
Yeah.
I love Reginald. Reginald was a beast.
That's what's
up. He's the first black billionaire.
Nah.
Real billionaire. Not like these billionaires we got today. You know, more billionaires, but they can't spend $100,000.
Right.
I ain't talking about them kind of billionaires. I'm talking about he was a real billionaire. You know, like, he really, like, put it on him, you know, and had to give him his money.
Mm-hmm.
Who else would I say, man? Oh, Paul Mooney. I love the way Paul Mooney is talking. I just got hit to him, like, last night, you know.
What? Oh, man, he's a legend, man. He wrote for some bad motherfuckers back in the day, man.
But I be so into my little bubble that I don't see what's going on. I don't know that this dude is like this.
Yeah,
know?
He used to write for Richard Pryor, Eddie Murphy, like all of them. And they were great. So imagine his pen. You know what I'm saying?
His pen is wicked.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's just so many people that I like and I admire. I admire greatness. Muhammad Ali, you know, I just saw his documentary on HBO, the one LeBron James did. You know, shout out to LeBron. He's doing his thing all the way around. You know,
yeah.
School to Muhammad Ali documentary.
Mm-hmm.
I had the privilege of going to his office too, about 8 months ago. You know, they putting it together. But that Muhammad Ali documentary was just sick, man.
Yeah.
Woo-wee.
You should check out this documentary on Netflix now called The Black Godfather. It's about Clarence Avon.
I heard about that.
Yeah, it's pretty dope, man. He was like a connector in the music industry and facilitated a lot of deals, started a lot of careers, and made a profit off of it, you know, but he's in the shadows with it, you know what I'm saying? People don't really give him the praise until this documentary came out, but
I've been knowing about Klan since the 60s.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah.
So I've been knowing about him a long time. I was in the music circles, you know, back in the day, mm-hmm. you know, just didn't really know how to capitalize on it like I do today.
That's what's up, man. Well, I wish you nothing but success with that venture and everything you got going on. I want to thank you for coming by today, man.
Thank you for having me, man. You got to read that book. You ain't read my book yet?
Not yet, but I will be reading it. I will be purchasing it.
Listen to this here. You got to read my book. You got to read that article when they wrote my obituary. Mm-hmm. And then you got to read my other book, 21 Keys to Success.
Okay. Yeah, you got the audio book out? I like to people to read to me.
I got to put the audio book out. Everybody been telling me, and I've been just, you know, kind of crazy, like, I ain't got time.
Yeah. You know, I mean, you don't have to read it. You can get somebody else to read it. But unless you want that authenticity, it should come from your voice, in my opinion, as a fan.
Yeah,
you know
yeah. Everybody say they want me to read it.
One page a day. Fuck it.
Yeah, my skin. Yeah, I probably could on an airplane.
Yo, man, thanks for coming by once again, man.
No doubt.
Look forward to further business deals and conversations, man. Let's do
it. You got the billionaire club, mm-hmm. I got the millionaires club.
Hey, and
so see, we all come together, and then the millionaires, we're going to help you become a billionaire.
That's what I need, baby. I need that. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Sleepers for Billionaires, the podcast. Johnny Vegas, you got anything you want to say?
You can find me at Freeway Ricky on all social media. Also, you can get my book, my sweatshirts, and everything off my website, freewayrickyross.com. Also, be on the lookout for my new podcast coming out called Plug Talk. Mm. Plug Talk.
That's Plug what it's Talk. Called. Plug Talk. Yeah. When does that come out?
Well, we're working on it right now. We're working with Tyson and his camp. They helped me put it together.
Oh, like Mike Tyson?
Yeah, Mike Tyson.
Oh, yeah, okay, because he got the podcast stuff, so.
Yeah. That's I'm doing dope, boxing, man. Too. You know, I'm doing some boxing, too.
Okay.
I'm going to try to take Al Hammond's job.
What?
He got old.
Man.
Al should retire.
Man, we got to do a part two to this, man.
Al should retire. I want Al to retire. He done did it all.
Yeah.
You understand? I should have did it all. Retire. Let's let a young buck have it.
Yeah, that's a fact, man. Well, shit, if you need some help filming or whatever, holla at
I
your
need
boy.
You, I need you. You can get with us on putting this talk together. I guarantee this is going to go viral. When I put all of these guys in there and they see all of this power from around the country in one place and all, like, I mean, I just visualize this gonna be crazy.
Yo, nah, it is big, man. I mean, like I said, anything I could do to help or anything I could plug up together, let me know, man. But I think that right there is a winner. I mean, just putting all those heads in the room, so much information could come out of that people can utilize in the present and the future. You know what I'm saying? So
no doubt.
You got something there. You got a winner right there, man. But we'll talk further, man.
We're gonna do it. Thank you again.
No problem, man. Right. Thank you, man. Johnny Vegas, Freeway Ricky Ross, Sleepers for Billionaires, the podcast, and we out. Uh-huh.